I love food. I'm a fan of food. I don't know, like, just take a moment and think to yourself, what's your favorite thing to eat? There's like 19 things that come to mind for me. I've said this numerous times. I have a whole nother stomach for ice cream, so we can make that work. But what's your favorite food? Just think about that for a second. Just settle in, make it settle in, make your mouth water. Yeah. I apologize, because now you want to get up and go get something. I love food, and probably in an unhealthy way. And so that's why I've been working hard at it this year. But I've gotten in these rhythms when I see a challenge, especially in regards to food, I want to accomplish that challenge. And when we lived in Pennsylvania, there was this place called Quaker Steak and Lube. I know it's a play on words, but they were famous for their hot wings. It's all across Pennsylvania and into Ohio and a little bit up into New York. And on Tuesday nights, back in the day, it's probably more expensive now, but it was $10.99 for all-you-can-eat wings. Oh, come on. And so I would go with a couple guys from the church, and one of our elders was this guy. I mean, he was like 5'7", 150 pounds, and he, one night when we were together, he put down, I kid you not, this is a true story, 97 hot wings. I was so impressed. I was mesmerized, because that same night, I put down 47 hot wings. I was one off of a clean four dozen. And if you had forced me to take one more hot wing, I might have punched you in the face. Like, it was that's the level of unhealth that I was going with. So I sat in awe as this little guy put down 97 hot wings. And I realized that he had a process. So like the day before, he'd eat a bunch of grapes, which would stretch your stomach but not fill you up. And then the day of the event that we called, he wouldn't eat at all. And then the next day, he wouldn't eat at all afterwards. He also ran 4 to 5 miles a day. So there was a completely different level of fitness between the two of us. But it was after that night that I realized that I might need to give fasting a try. And we're going to talk about that this morning. This is our new series, Unplugged. And this morning I want to focus on fasting. During the season of Lent, if you watched my Encouragement Wednesday from 2 weeks ago, or you saw our Lent video, during this season of Lent, oftentimes people give something up for God. And Mary told you she was giving up Netflix and stuff online. You can give up several things during this season, but when we talk about fasting, I want to hone in on fasting in regards to food. And so we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 6 this morning. We're also going to look at Matthew 4, but we're going to start with 6 because Jesus talks about it. Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 to 18. And so if you have a Bible, if you want to grab it, if it's on your phone or whatever, or you just want to listen along, this is what Matthew chapter 6, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount says this in verse 16. Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret. And what your father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Let me just pray for us before we continue this morning, because I want this to land on your soul in a new way, whether you've experienced fasting or not. Let me just pray for us. Lord Jesus, I ask right now that you invade our minds, that we hear the power that comes through this discipline. And I tell the enemy of our soul, you have no authority to invade, to change, to alter the truth and the power that comes from fasting. I pray this in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen. So there's a couple implications from these three verses, and this is somewhat going to be more teachy than preachy this morning. I apologize for that, but it's been a while since we talked about fasting, so I want to hit a couple things that's not necessarily always going to be in the text, and really it's looking at all Scripture as a whole, but I want to target these two passages this morning, the first one here in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus starts with the implication, whenever you fast, and the implication is that you will fast, that this will be a process that you engage in. Throughout the Old and New Testament, people fast, and so Jesus in this Sermon on the Mount expects that people who follow him will fast, so there's an expectation involved. The word fast here literally means, it's a negative prefix on the word food, so the context of the original text of fasting is no food, not eating food. Doesn't mean you can't fast other things, and doesn't mean that those things aren't necessarily important, but you need food to survive. And so when you let go of food for a duration of time, you are then dependent on the God of the universe to sustain you because you need food. All right? And so in this context, when you give food up, then don't make yourself noticeable in your fasting. The Pharisees, or those that were had a deep-rooted understanding of Scripture, they would fast literally every Tuesday and Thursday, but their goal was to show how pious or righteous they were and draw attention to themselves. And that's not the point of fasting at all. And so Jesus says, hey, listen, fasting is not about you and what you are capable of doing in and of your own self and having people look at you and think, oh, you're so great because you fast. It's really a private thing between you and God. So wash your face, anoint, put oil on. The concept was make yourself look normal in appearance so that people don't necessarily know that you're fasting, because the fast isn't about getting attention. It's about you and God. And it's not to say that you can't let people know. Like when I first started trying fasting, and I had a meeting with somebody, a lunch meeting, and I was dirt while I was fasting and I didn't eat, and they're like, what's going on? And I would like, I can't. Matthew 6 says, I can't tell them that I'm fasting. I start freaking out. That's not the concept. The concept is not to draw attention to yourself, if possible, to redirect your focus and attention on God. And so Jesus says these things to those listening. So keep it between you and God when possible, because your reward is your relationship with God. So let's talk about just quickly for a second what fasting is not. Fasting is not a way of suffering for God, all right? It's not for you to suffer in and of itself just because God has done something great for you, so you want to suffer. That's not the point of fasting. It's not a spiritual practice that proves how much you love God. I think we have this misunderstanding sometimes. We realize the depravity that we have in and of ourselves and how great God's love is, that we just want to somehow tell God that Jesus didn't die in vain, that we're worth it. And so we do extreme things to prove that we love God. And that's not necessary. If you did absolutely zero, God still would have died for you. You can't read your Bible enough, you can't pray enough, you can't fast enough to make God love you more or less than he does right now at this moment, and this moment, and this moment. It's not about proving your love to God. It's not righteousness in that you're not required to fast to prove your holiness. It's not trying really hard to get God's attention. Maybe you feel like God has been silent during the season, and if I just fast, then maybe I'll get his attention. That's not the point of fasting. It's not necessarily the same as repentance, although you can add fasting as a point of repentance, making yourself more dependent on God. But it's not repentance in and of itself. Repentance is really turning from self and turning towards God. It's not addiction treatment. A couple years ago, I got in this really unhealthy rhythm where I was drinking so much soda that I decided I would fast soda on Fridays, you know, because I didn't want to get, I was just giving up soda on Fridays so it wouldn't become an addiction. That's not fasting, right? Fasting is about your relationship with God. And it's not, let me just add one here. It's not a diet plan. Since I've engaged in this series of fasting, one of the things that I've really enjoyed is the fact that I'm a kind of a big boned person, that when I fast, I do lose weight. And it can be a catalyst for weight loss. And I got misconstrued there a couple times during my fast and got more focused on the weight loss than about my relationship with God. It's not a diet plan. Simply put, I love what Ben Cernacki says. He's a pastor, author. He says, simply put, fasting is a way of placing ourselves in the way of grace by withdrawing our reliance on earthly things so that we can feast on God's presence and power. Let that just sit. If you need to just read that over again, just a way of placing ourselves in a way of grace by withdrawing our reliance on earthly things so that we can feast on God's presence and power. So before we go any further, I want to tell you about the first time I really fasted. So I had this, you know, this unhealthy pattern where I would like try to eat as much as possible in certain engagements. I thought, man, I really probably should fast. And so a couple of youth groups in the area were doing a 30-hour famine, where during the 30 hours you fast from food and you raise money for people who need food. Great concept, great idea, if executed well. I had never fasted more than one meal, and I went into this 30-hour famine. And it was like the first hour, I was like, I just want to eat something. I want to eat something. And they're like, you know, it's going to be a water fast. We're not going to do any solids, and we're only going to have water and Gatorade available. And the Gatorade, they had like this container of the Gatorade powder. So you could like strengthen your drink. And full disclosure, when people weren't looking, I was like, I was pounding the Gatorade powder in the drink. I mean, it was like almost like a solid. It was ridiculous. And then at one point during the middle of the night, like I just crashed because there's sugar in that too, right? So it was like over my body was like, what are you doing to us? And We started on a Friday, we finished on a Saturday night, and the church that we were meeting at, they did this huge feast where there was like, I mean, just, and I saw the food, and I was like, we're being honest with one another, right? I was pushing kids out of the way. I was just like, get out of my way. I'm a large person, I need food. And I was like, This is not a good plan. I'll give you some how-tos at the end, but that was not a good way to start a fast. Then I really started looking into it and seeing there's some patterns and there's some things you should do. And I gradually increased my fasting over time, and it has become a solid rhythm that I haven't done in a while, and that's why I'm preaching on it this morning, because it's time. But let's look at what Jesus let's look at Jesus' experience next here. Oh, no, I do. I want to share this. Dr. Bill Bright, the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ, says, here's some reasons why to fast, and I'll try to break them down for you. It was an expected discipline in the Old and New Testament. All throughout the Old Testament, you'll see people fasting for numerous reasons. It can result in a more intimate relationship with God. There is something that happens that when you give up food and make yourself more dependent on God, it's not magical per se, but there's a level of intimacy that grows. And I love that he describes it that way. A way of humbling yourself before God. When I shared that first experience, it was a couple hours in, and I was like, I'm the worst human being on planet Earth. There's a humbleness that takes place. It enables the Holy Spirit to reveal your true spiritual condition, resulting in brokenness, repentance, and transformed life. When you give up a substance that you need and make yourself more dependent on God, there's a level of brokenness that happens that it brings stuff to light. And so it's super helpful. It will encourage the Holy Spirit to quicken the word of God in your heart, and his truth will become more meaningful. Simply put, if you engage in reading scripture during your fast, or you've memorized scripture in the past, those things become clearer to you. And there's a level of where your brain starts to connect with the word of God better when you make yourself dependent on God during that time. And that's what he's talking about here. It can transform your prayer life into a richer and more personal experience because of the dependency that's happening. It can result in a more dynamic personal revival in your own life and make you a channel of revival for others. If done properly, it can also make you mean and nasty. So I'll explain that in a second. But let's look at Jesus' experience that is written about in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Starting in verse 1, in a lot of your titles in the Bible, it says the temptation of Jesus or the testing of Jesus. This is Jesus' experience of fasting. In verse 1, it says, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.' Then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.' Jesus said to him, 'On the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test.' Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, 'All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only.' Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him." So let's just start here with Jesus does this experience right after he's baptized and right before he starts his public ministry. So it's in that window. And notice that it says he was led by the Spirit into this time frame of fasting, and that the devil, the tempter, came. The concept there really is a time of testing, as opposed to temptation. But the Holy Spirit leads him into this, and I really believe this truth. And so, please hear: have you ever had this experience before, where you finish dinner? Maybe like an hour after dinner, and all of a sudden you feel hungry again. You ever had that experience? I believe this with all my heart and mind. Sometimes we head to the cupboard or the fridge because we think our stomach is craving food, but really it's our soul craving time with God. Let me say that again. Sometimes we head to the cupboard or the fridge because we think our stomach is craving food, but it's really our soul craving time with God. And so he takes time out after he's baptized, showing the world who he is, before he heads into his public ministry. He takes this time out and he fasts for 40 days and 40 nights. And can I just pause there and say, I do not recommend this. I don't recommend a 40-day, 40-night fast. I know one person that I personally know who did this, and made it after conversations with a doctor. that to make it 40 days and 40 nights without eating any kind of substance is really putting your body in a lot of danger. And you really need to know that you know that you know that the God of the universe has asked you to walk through that season. So I don't advise. I don't believe because Jesus did it that he's saying that that's what he wants us to do. So please hear me say that. Just because Jesus did it here doesn't mean that that's what he's requiring of you and me to engage in. And one of the right away at the end of this time frame, it says then Jesus is hungry. Now, I don't know if he experienced hunger pains leading up to those 40 days and 40 nights, but when he got to the end of that 40 days and 40 nights, his body was like, all right, because he is fully God and fully man, his body is going, I need something, and the hunger pains came. And that's when the enemy of our soul came to Jesus and starts harassing him. If you're really God, tell these stones to turn into bread. And notice Jesus' response is not to go, oh yeah, I could really do that. And we don't know what was going on in his brain, but what came out of his mouth was he quoted scripture. And the three times that the enemy hits him during this season after the 40 days and 40 nights, his response is always scripture. We talked about that before. One of the outcomes of engaging in a fast is scripture becomes more clear and more articulate in your mind, and his response immediately to the enemy of his soul is scripture. And the last one, Satan, get the heck out of here. So there's something to fasting and engaging with strength against the enemy of your soul. So my first experience, it didn't go so well. And after that, I really started digging in and looking at some proper ways to invest and start this process of fasting. And a couple years later, 2011, our youth networks, the pastors got together and were like, let's do something collectively in regards to fasting. And I was like, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. You know, I tried a couple more days at this point, and so one of the youth guys goes, it's 2011, let's do 11 days of fasting in 2011. I was like, what the heck's wrong with you? We're not telling teens to do 11 days of fasting. We're gonna go to prison. And I said, all right, well, let's encourage them to do different things. Maybe give up something each day during the 11 days. One kid gave up their bed for the day to know what it's like to not sleep in a bed. A couple students slept out in tents so they could experience what it was like not to have a home. Others gave up different food items, and a couple of them did a couple days. And there was a few of us youth pastors that decided, all right, we're going to do the full 11 days. And I decided I'm going to do the full 11 days, just water. And one of my elders at the time was a doctor, and I told him about it, and he was like, no, you're not. And I was like, I want to do this. And he goes, no, listen, and he starts breaking down what happens to your body. And so after about 48 to 72 hours, your body starts realizing that sustenance is not going in. And so it starts going after storage, right? You can go after fats, but oftentimes what happens is it goes after your organs. And so he goes, Jeff, you go 7 days and you could end up in kidney failure. And I was like, well, I don't want to do that. And he said, okay, when you get to 7 days, well, how about we agree you shift over and you start doing some juice during meal times? And I said, all right, I'll do that. And he went and talked to a bunch of nutritionists, and we set a plan, and he was like, can I just call you and check up on you? He goes, the elder in me goes, you got this. And then the doctor in me goes, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. I got to generally, you know, I don't treat my temple very well. So day three, I'm detoxing all the stuff that I allow into my system. By day four, I was hating the world. And my wife wanted me to leave because I had zero energy and I wasn't necessarily the nicest person. You realize that, you know, you're in desperate need. Day seven, I woke up and it was the clearest my brain has ever been in my entire life. And there was a dependency on God that I've never experienced before or since. I've never done 11 days ever again. And it was a beautiful, beautiful experience. Then I transitioned over to juice for the next couple of days. And there was a level of dependency, there was a level of awareness, there was a level of spiritualness that was beautiful. And I say that all to say, my complete dependency was on God during that season. It wasn't, I'm not giving up food for the sake of giving up food. It wasn't, let me see if I can do this. It was solely about me and God and my dependency on Him. And there is something beautiful that happens when you make yourself that dependent on your Creator. So, let me give you some ways to attempt to do this. And this is my response to you. Like I said, this is a little more teachy than preachy this morning. This is what I would say to you, and these are the things that I've learned. So first, if you've never fasted before, this would be my encouragement to you. If you are going to do a food fast, I would start with doing a 24-hour period of time. And I would start after, say you start on a Tuesday night, I would start after dinner Tuesday, skip breakfast and lunch Wednesday, and then do a later dinner on Wednesday. Give yourself 24 hours. During those meal times, replace that meal time with you and Jesus time. Whatever ways you connect with God the best, if reading is good for you, if worship is good for you, if nature is good for you, if solitude and silence is good for you, the ways that you connect with God best, I would do during those meal times. Don't give up. If you have family time, don't give up the family time. And that's not the point of this. The point is connection with God, and your family is a part of that. And then if that works for you, then I would do no meals one whole day. Take a Wednesday, breakfast, lunch, dinner. Start eating the next day. And then if you want to, take a meal out. If you get to day three, if you make a three-day fast, you do have to start beginning a reintroduction of food regimen. When your body starts going to conservation mode, it's going to respond differently. So if you try to engage back in, do not engage back in with a buffet. You're gonna kill your gut. That is not a good plan. I'll have Laura send out some suggestions. There's some great information out there on how to re-engage the stomach, especially if you're gonna go a longer period of time. If you're gonna go even 5 days plus, talk to your doctor. Talk to a nutritionist. Give me a call. But understand, if you're going that's got to be a you and God conversation where you feel like this is something that I want to do in relationship with the God of the universe. That is not required. Please do not hear me say, well, my pastor said on Sunday, if I'm really spiritual, I got to fast for a whole week. That's not what I'm saying to you. I'm saying fasts are amazing and good in regards to growing your relationship and realizing who you are in Him. Not a requirement. And if you are going to go an extended period of time, you have to have people doing it with you. See that up there? If you need to take a picture, write this down. Call me. I will be your fast guide if you need help. It can be super powerful in your relationship with the God of the universe. And during this season of Lent that we're doing, I don't want any of us doing fast for the sake of doing fast, right? Giving up stuff for the sake of giving stuff up, that's not the point of a fast. Giving stuff up because other people are doing it, that's not. This is about you and your relationship with the God of the universe, who knows you, who created you, who knows every single hair on your head and the one that just fell out. He wants to be present in your life. And if this helps you understand how much you love and need him and he loves you, then I would encourage you to do so, but not for the sake of, and just because it seems like a cool thing to do. That is not the point of this. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, our desire is to know you. To know who we are and whose we are. Lord, I ask that you would break through all the noise, that we would hear you clearly. Lord, for those who do want to step into this discipline, I ask that you would speak to them now in clear ways to their mind. Once again, telling the enemy he has no right or authority to say anything. Our desire is to grow in our understanding of how much you love us, how dependent we are on you. And so, Lord, I ask that you would speak clearly to those who want to engage in this capacity. I ask that you would bless them in whatever engagement in this regard that they've chosen with fasting, that you would bless that season as they step further and further in to fasting, that they would hear more clearly, they would understand more comprehensively, that they would grow in their understanding of how much you love them. I pray this in the power and presence of your Spirit who is with us. In the name of Christ Jesus, amen.